Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 97. And Dave, it's a big day, not just Friday the 13th. We have a big guest joining us for today's show.
Yeah, I finally was able to track him down yesterday, David. I had two phone numbers that came up disconnected. I had previously sent him a couple of emails. I was about to send an APB. I mean, call the police and have them start looking for old Dave T. Thomas. But I sent one last email his way, and he evidently got that one and responded back. I called him real quick, chatted about 5 minutes, and as usual, he looks forward to being on the show, his annual visit. I don't know how many years it's been now, David. 5, 6, 7. Geez, I mean, all I know is I had to get the seat belt for my office chair out of my closet and put it on, because just in the 5 minutes that I was talking to him yesterday on the phone, I feel like I need to go see a doctor or something. So definitely an exciting day, Friday the 13th, to have our annual visit with Dave T. Thomas.
All right, let's. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes. Let's just get through kind of news and notes around the NFL of what's been going on this week. Is obviously the focus for all teams now is to finish up their board, their draft preparation. And I would suggest here, with 2 weeks to go before the draft, just inside 2 weeks, that most teams are pretty far along having their board set up. Obviously, not everything's finalized, but visits are coming to an end. Each team gets 30 visits. Plus, you know, players in their local area. So kind of, you know, that process is finishing up, and then they'll get down to the final kind of evaluative process. And obviously, that's what we're going through too. But Dave, I guess the news around the league, a couple things, you know, Colin Kaepernick's continually in the news. And I think it's a story that most fans maybe are a little bit tired of, but you know, odd things continue to surround him. And apparently, he had a...
You just dropped out, David.
Stephen Morris, last night or this morning, but they wanted assurances that he wouldn't continue to kneel during the anthem, and he didn't provide that, and so they canceled the workout. You know, he continues to stand by his views, and we've gone through this enough that I think everybody knows the background of the situation, but again, you know, kind of an odd situation that it got to that point, and then it came out publicly, and you know, still more going on.
Yeah, and you probably want to set that up again. You broke up right after you mentioned in between talking about Colin Kaepernick, and then you mentioned Stephen Morris was the next thing. You broke up for about
Kaepernick was he was invited by the Seahawks to come have a tryout, and I would imagine that was a situation where they would have signed him. But they wanted assurances that he wouldn't continue to kneel during the anthem playing. And we don't even know if teams are going to be on the field this coming year for the anthem. So I'm not sure it was even an issue, but he didn't give them that assurance. And they canceled the workout. They ended up signing Stephen Morris within 24 hours. So, you know, continues to be a whirlwind of events around Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they signed Stephen Morris sight unseen, right?
You know? Yeah, I don't think he came in for a visit. I mean, people remember Stephen Morris, University of Miami, Florida quarterback. He's just a guy. I think he was with the Colts for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was as well, too. Yeah, just a guy right now. So, we'll continue to hear Colin Kaepernick's name every once in a while, and probably not the last time we'll be talking about him prior to the start of the season.
Best guess right now, will Colin Kaepernick get an invitation to somebody's camp this year?
I say no.
I don't think he will either. It's been a fascinating story. I mean, we all have our own views about whether, you know, he's at what level player he is, how talented he is. You know, you can look at wins and losses. That doesn't reflect all that well. You can look at touchdowns, interceptions. That does reflect well. All sorts of things about Kaepernick and what he, you know, has done in the league and might potentially do. And plenty of people have strong views about, you know, him being blackballed. I mean, he's got a case being heard currently against the league. So he continues to be a topic of conversation. Vontaze Burfict, also a topic of conversation. Confirmation by the league and the Bengals that he will be suspended for the first four games. Dave, I was shocked. I mean, I don't know why I was shocked, but I was shocked when I actually saw the number. This is the 11th time he has been fined or suspended by the league.
Third straight season, too. He'll miss a regular season opener because of a suspension, I think, of the last – what was the stat of, like, the last 70 games or something like that? He's only played in, like, 30-something of them because of either injury – injury or suspension. Hold on, I'll get you that exact number here. It says, where is it here? Okay, yeah, he will have missed 33 of the Bengals' last 70 games due to either suspension or injuries. That's absolutely incredible. And the thing is, look, back when this first broke in the middle of March, I thought there was a good chance the Bengals might just part ways with him because there was the rumor at the time that maybe they were going to trade him to the Raiders. I don't think anything substantial ever came out of that report. But, you know, he was reportedly due, I think, a $2 million roster bonus on March 31st. So, you know, if they were going to cut him, I think, by the end of last month would have been the time to do it. And obviously they haven't since then. I think the player personnel guy for the Bengals spoke some at the annual league meeting, saying, you know, basically in so many words that they were going to, you know, plan on sticking with Vontaze Burfict, you know, throughout at least this season. So it sounds like he's going to miss. Well, he is going to miss the first four games, and then I suppose he'll be back and business as usual for them.
Yep, and people remember, you know, he missed a bunch of games after getting laid out by Juju with a concussion at the end of last year. So when we classify guys, Vontaze Burfict's on the bad list. The guy who's on the really bad list is Reuben Foster. He and Aldon Smith are, you know, just can't, you know, nothing. They don't do anything right. So people probably might have seen the story. Reuben Foster, of course, 49ers, former Alabama player, has had a litany of issues already, starting with, you know, back at the combine when he got, you know, basically dismissed from the combine, arrested a couple times. Apparently, a domestic abuse situation, which is, you know, terrifying if you read the actual, you know, case about the woman being, you know, hit in the head a bunch of times and dragged out of the house by her hair. Just, you know, really terrible stuff. And, you know, the 49ers and John Lynch have said, you know, we're obviously paying close attention to this. Reuben knows that his position with the organization is dependent on how this turns out. There are a lot of people in San Francisco in the media who are dismayed that the 49ers have not actually already cut ties with Reuben Foster. Dave, he appears to be, you know, we talk about all the bad Vontaze Burfict stuff and a dirty player and all the nasty stuff. I don't know how much off the field stuff Vontaze Burfict has had. I don't really recall anything to this degree, and this is some bad stuff.
Boy, there were, and it wasn't like there weren't red flags when Reuben Foster had it, you know, ahead of time too. And you would think, you know, look, I think John Lynch is one of the best, you know, one of the up and coming, you know, exciting new young, you know, GMs, you know, personnel guys in the league right now, and for them to put themselves in a situation, you know. Not, I guess, going the unsafe route with a guy like Reuben Foster, makes you wonder. And look, I think, you know, they'll probably take this step by step, but just see how this thing plays out. But, you know, and look, I obviously don't know all the facts, but I will not be surprised within the next, you know, whatever, 60 days or however long it takes them to get to the bottom of this, that Reuben Foster is a former member of the San Francisco 49ers.
I'll go as far as to say he'll never play another down in the league. I think this is enough of an event. I think attitudes have been they've changed enough in a positive way to recognize that, you know, these people, maybe they deserve second chances in life. They don't necessarily deserve second chances in the NFL. Alden Smith, speaking of a guy who's gotten, you know, multiple chances. I mean, this would be funny if it weren't so sad. Apparently, Alden Smith had to check in with a monitor, you know, a location monitor into a police office. And he checked in and he had a blood alcohol level of, and this is not a misprint, 0.40, which is, you know, bordering on, you know, you can die. And it's just, I mean, I don't even know what to say. You know, you're walking into a police office so intoxicated that, you know, you could die to so that you can, you know, check in and let them know where you are. And it's incomprehensible.
Sounds like something I would have done in my teens.
Yeah, well,
the guy just can't get out of his own way. There's obviously, you know,
addiction. Yeah, he's got a sickness.
Right. I mean, there's something going on in his brain that's not right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now that we've gotten past the arrest warrant book, Mike Wallace had a weight clause in his contract with the Eagles, which is one of the more unique clauses you may ever see. $585,000 Mike Wallace gets if he weighs under 250 pounds. I'm guessing Mike Wallace hasn't sniffed 220 in his life. So what's up with that kind of clause?
You got me. I asked Phil Yates if he meant 200, you know. But Adam Schefter, I think, tweeted something else right after that, confirming, I think, that it was 250 pounds. Hey, can Mike Wallace play inside linebacker? You know, I mean, are you that worried about the guy getting that heavy? Obviously not. There's got to be something to this. And because this has come up, I'll put it in my notes the next time maybe to ask. Next time we have former NFL agent Joel Corey on, maybe we can ask him why something like this would have been worded the way it was or what have you.
Some way to get him some guaranteed money, basically.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a clue why you would do it that way, but there you go.
Johnny Manziel in the spring league, a couple touchdowns yesterday. I mean, speaking of guys, you know, getting second chances – for whatever it's worth, and, you know, I know there probably aren't a lot of fans of Johnny Manziel out there after all the things he's done and gone through, but for whatever it's worth, he's saying and doing all the right things. I don't know that he'll ever get an opportunity to get back in the league, but he may get a shot here in the CFL.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, a long way away from being a Tommy Maddox, right?
Yeah, the Hamilton Tiger Cats have offered him a contract. The problem is it requires a 2-year commitment. I don't think, you know, Manziel, if he wants to play in the NFL, I mean, that is a stepping stone. But obviously, I don't think, you know, I think the deal is probably there's an NFL rule that you can't go raid the CFL if these guys are under contract. So I'm sure they have some kind of agreement along those lines. So, you know, does he want to see if he can get invited to camp this year? Or was he willing to kind of wait to see what happens with these other leagues that are, you know, under, you know, supposedly trying to get started. Will Johnny Manziel ever play another down in the NFL?
I'll say no.
Yeah, I would bet against it as well. Okay, what else we got?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think whatever we just put in the first 10 minutes is going to sound like Charlie Brown's parents to all the listeners. Right?
What's the Richie Incognito thing? He says his body's closing down and he's going to retire, but he wants to get in the Hall of Fame?
Those
words don't go together. Richie Incognito in the Hall of Fame.
No, but let me tell you, he was just the way he played at times during his career. He was a beast. I mean, he was a mauler at time. I mean, he was a guy that even on the move. I mean, if you like old school kind of big guards that will, you know, pancake your behind, he was it. You know, now, of course, all that baggage, you know, from days in Miami and, you know, to hear a lot of guys, you know, players, I guess, talk, he was a bit of a you know what. But look, I mean, he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. And you know, I think his playing days are over. He fired his agent on Twitter, too, I think last week as well, too.
Yeah, that was an odd way to do things. You know, obviously, going the Donald Trump route. Of, you know, firing people over Twitter. And then good luck to you is how he finished it up. It was definitely kind of weird. Steelers news. Anything of note? We've seen Tom Bradley talk a little bit. I think we discussed that. You wrote about it. The continued Le'Veon Bell talk. I'll still stand by the idea that they won't get a deal done. I know you wrote about Joel's article and pointed it out yesterday. And the only thing – I think the thing that was most interesting was talking about the potential of the Steelers keeping Le'Veon Bell around a third year, not with a franchise tag because that would be well in excess of $20 million, but a transition tag, which might be around $17 million, which I don't know that we've discussed that. It's an interesting option if you're thinking that, you know, what can you do potentially to get another year out of Le'Veon Bell? And, he wouldn't like it again, but it is an alternative. The point being that if on the transition tag, any team can match and then the Steelers have, or any team can make an offer sheet and then the Steelers have the right to match, but they don't get the compensatory draft pick that they might get if he were to leave after this season or if he plays under the franchise tag.
Well, yeah, the transition tag's flimsy, very, very flimsy. And, you know, if it's worth giving to him that at $17.5 million next season, you would assume that, A, he stayed healthy, B, he had a good season. And, of course, he will be, 27 at this, February next year, still – might be attractive enough, and all it takes is one team to sign him to a lucrative offer sheet, a multi-year contract with enough guaranteed money in it, and that would surely run the Steelers off. And on top of that, do the Steelers really want to tie up $17.5 million for, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks of salary cap money for a player that they're probably going to lose via an offer sheet anyway? You know, it is a unique option. I will be surprised if we get to that point, if the Steelers even use it. I think the Steelers, assuming they don't get a deal done with Bell by July 16th this year, I think the best case scenario next offseason would be to shake his hand and let him run off to the highest bidder in free agency and just go a different route then. But it was a unique thing that nobody's talking about when it comes to Bell, but I just don't see it happening. But it was a great complete article by Joel Corey on CBSSports.com. That covers the decline of the running back market. It covers that transaction tag and a few other things as well that I highly recommend reading.
Yeah, and, one thing Joel mentions there, and look, this is, this is pie-in-the-sky stuff, but because we sometimes do that, let me just ask you, Dave, if the Steelers and the Browns could make a deal where the Steelers could move up on draft day to number 4 because Saquon Barkley was there, and, they were in love with Saquon Barkley, which I am in love with Saquon Barkley, would you trade Le'Veon Bell, the 28th pick, and your 4th-round pick to go up and get, you're obviously going to save a ton of money. You're going to have Barkley for potentially 5 years, at a much cheaper cost. Would you make that deal?
I mean, if we're just talking pick for pick plus the player, I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I mean,
yeah, I would do it. I would trade the 28th pick, Le'Veon Bell, and the 4th-round pick. Yeah, I'd get, because like I said, look. Again, you're going to save tons of money. You're going to get a younger back who's a very good pass-catching back. He's, in the article, he mentions, the best back to come out of college in 30 years. Everybody's got their own view. There have been a lot of good backs coming out of college. But some people feel like he's the best player in the draft. It would be interesting if that were something that were on the table. I'm sure it isn't and won't be. And I think it would be a huge mistake if the Browns pass on Barkley at 4.
I think it'd be a huge mistake for them to do that deal outright because you're dealing with with a player in Bell. He could have.
You didn't have to pay.
Yeah, that you didn't have to pay. That you didn't have to worry about the mileage on him. I mean, he could be great in the NFL for the next 5 years, but you have that money tied next to his name, and then you have a young guy like Saquon that could potentially give you. Some of the same stuff you would think. So, I mean, as Mike Tomlin said, I don't like to deal in those kind of hypotheticals.
Yep, I'm with you. Okay, last one. Speaking of the Browns, looks like they're going to get a big deal done with Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is a good player, Dave. He caught 112 passes last year and led the NFL. He averaged 8.8 yards a reception. I think he was lowest among qualifiers, or however they defined it, of yak, yards after the catch. I like Jarvis Landry. He's not in my top 10 receivers in the NFL. I'm not doing a 5-year, 15 a year deal with Jarvis Landry. The Browns have all the cap room in the world, but that to me just doesn't make sense.
Well, what is he average? Like 100 catches a season, right around in there. I mean, look, he's a good football player, without a doubt. Should he be the third, fourth highest paid receiver? Look, I mean, if you can get it, all help, great on you. But you see a play like Le'Veon Bell. I mean, who would you rather pay the $15 million to, Le'Veon Bell or a guy like Jarvis Landry? Maybe that's a question for the reader, for the listeners today.
Yeah, I think it's, I know a lot of people are drawing the comparisons, and could Bell play? We've talked about this before. Bell's a receiver and a running back. Blah blah blah. The question is, to me, if you're going to get – I can't pay that much money to a guy who is dealing, around the line of scrimmage. Like 8.8 yards a catch, I mean, that's – you're not – and he did have – I think he did have 9 touchdowns or 11 touchdowns last year. So that was something, and there's value in that. I don't want to dismiss that. And I don't want to dismiss him being a good football player, because he certainly is. But if I'm listing receivers, Dave, he got paid like a top flight receiver. It's not clear to me that a slot guy can be your number one receiver even. So is he the best receiver on that football team? I mean, if Josh Gordon's healthy, Josh Gordon's a better receiver. But he's been productive and he's young. He's still young. He's only 25, but I was just a little bit shocked.
Yeah, I was as well. But he'll be a weapon for Todd Haley. You can bet Todd Haley will try to find a way to use him now. So. All right,
we're going to come back. We're going to have Dave T with us. Just for listeners' note is, I've got a little bit of a constricting time frame on the show today, so I may skate out just before the end of our conversation with Dave T. So Dave may close it up, but just to give you a heads up, and we'll be back with Dave. Okay, as promised, one of our most anticipated shows of the year and one of our favorite guests, Dave T. Thomas, joins us. It's Dave, and Dave, NFL Draft Report, our fifth or sixth year having Dave on the show. And Dave, our listeners love hearing from you, and we certainly love having you on. Thanks for making the time for us.
Well, listen, I'm walking from Boise State with a big linebacker on my shoulders. I hope I make it to Pittsburgh by the 26th, but that's what I'm expecting to happen, folks.
Well, it's, there are a lot of people who look forward to the draft even more than they do the season. And, your expertise is certainly welcome on this. Let's start with just the one big topic, because it's obviously quarterbacks in the league. We all know the importance, and the quarterbacks at the top of this draft. Just give me an overarching view of what you think. Are 6 of them going to go in the first round? Are 4 of them going to go in the first 5 picks? What do you think, and how do you rank them?
Here's how it goes. There'll be definitely 5 quarterbacks going in a draft. What it comes down to is what New England will do with their 2 picks. We hear they like Mason Rudolph, but Bill Belichick loves Lamar Jackson. So if Lamar Jackson happens to slide to them at that spot, there will be 6 quarterbacks going in the draft, because someone will then come back in late in round 1 and try to grab Mason Rudolph before he's sitting there on day 2.
And at the top of the draft, do you have a view of Darnold versus Allen versus Rosen and Mayfield, of course?
I take safety in numbers. I go with Darnold. I look at Rosen, no matter what they're saying about the kid. I got to go back and look at what his ex-coach has been saying. Okay, Mora is sort of like tossing out a little bit of bad here, a little bit of bad there, but hey, Rosen ended up getting 2 coaches fired out at UCLA, so I got to watch a ball player that challenges his coaches in the room. I don't want no young rookie coming in who could barely shave right now telling me what to do, especially if I got HC next to my name. I look at the situation with the Jets. I figure the Jets are going to blow it at number 3 and go for Mayfield. God bless. Let's get him out of the way over here so we can make sure that the Giants do the right thing at number 2. More than likely, what I'm seeing right now, even though they're saying Donald being up in the dog pound, Dorsey loves Josh Allen. He looks at Josh Allen and sees another Big Ben. That's a situation over there that on draft day, the Giants will sit there and take Donald in a nanosecond if he gets passed. If not, I do see a trade going down at number 2.
D- Dave, you obviously opened up talking about Leighton Vander Esch out of Boise State. The kid at the combine put up unbelievable measurables. When you look at his one year as a starter last year at Boise State, good. Definitely had some stats there. A lot of people will say, well, he didn't play in a Power Five conference. So a lot of people will point to his only real good game was against Oregon last year. Why him? Other than some of the obvious that I just pointed out.
Do you see the running backs in the Mountain West Conference? I mean, all of those guys were buku 1,200 yards. Every team had at least one 1,000-yard rusher. And here's a kid that comes along on 56 running plays. He holds the ball carriers to a total of 11 yards and two first downs. Two first downs going through 13 games playing linebacker and playing on the outside. I look at this kid, he's the second coming to Urlacher. When I started talking about Urlacher during his senior year, everybody was going, Urlacher, who? Oh, that's another Brad Van Pelt will probably end up at safety. Well, right now I see Mr. Urlacher's bus sitting in Canton, Ohio. I'm not going to say that Vander Esch is going to be that, but look at what happened when Shazier went down last year. It's not only that you lost a great linebacker, you lost a great thinker. It was like all of a sudden they all turned into Homer Simpson out on the football field, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you got to go and you got to get a smart man in the middle. Now, the problem is where they're picking him round one, he may not be there because you got to look at Miami. You got to look at a couple of the other teams that need linebackers. He could be off the board within the top 15. If that comes up, I tell them, hey, listen, back off till day three because you'll find the sleeper there at the middle linebacker spot, and that's the kid Burks out of Vanderbilt.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit about the kid out of Vanderbilt real quick.
Well, here's another kid that played both inside and outside, but I see him more as a classic middle linebacker. You know, he shows suddenness in his initial move off the ball, and he gets to the top speed quickly. The big thing that I like about the guy is he's got great pass coverage skills. I don't know, I might be taking people back a little bit too far, but remember the Miami Dolphins, how good they were against the pass defense because of Zach Thomas in the middle? That's what Burks brings to the football field. Hey, no knock on Williams. Williams is a bull in a china shop, but when it comes to thinking, he's more like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. I can't wait for my middle linebacker to wait to 10 Mississippi before he reacts to the play.
I have a feeling I know how you're going to reply to this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. In addition to Leighton Vander Esch being connected to the Steelers as a possible first-round draft pick, so is Alabama linebacker Rashawn Evans. So I want your I know you're going to give it to us straight. What are your thoughts on Rashawn Evans?
I think that something's going to come down with the Raiders. The Raiders got three linebackers on their board right now, Smith down at Georgia, Edmonds at Virginia Tech, and Rashawn Evans. The way that they've been going down to Birmingham, I don't think they're going there to see Nick Saban. They've been going there four times now to look at Evans. I think Evans might be the surprise linebacker off the board first.
Who would you take between the two, between Vander Esch and Evans?
I take Vander Esch over God.
Now, you talked about the other guys, the kid from Virginia Tech and Roquan Smith. Do you think those two guys are clearly a cut above Evans and Vander Esch? Or do you think, when you look at the four of them?
Oh, no. Yeah, I look at one thing. Edmonds, to me, is another Alton Smith without the domestic violence. Edmonds, to me, is probably the most complete pure linebacker in this draft. I look at Smith, and I broke down Smith's statistics last year. Okay, 131 tackles, but he gave up 5.64 yards per carry against the run. On 46 passes into his area, 30 were completed. I'm sorry, I don't need a revolving door. I need somebody that could also cover in addition to tackling. What's good making 131 tackles if you're making a guy make a play every time?
So you think four off the ball linebackers go in the first round this year?
Yeah, I see that. I see at least five quarterbacks going, but I see more so a run on offensive guards than tackles. If you need an offensive tackle, like I told when I was up in New England, hey, if you need a tackle, you could wait till 23, you could wait till 31 over there because you're going to have a Connor Williams still on the board. The biggest key to this draft is whoever ends up a Quentin Nelson ends up a probably the best player in this draft.
So when you look at it, is it Barkley, Nelson, and Chubb? Are they the three best guys in this draft?
I won't take Barkley. You know, Barkley, Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, go back and look at his statistics. He'll have a 170-yard game, then there's a 40-yard game, there's a 38-yard game, then boom, he's running for 150 yards again. Out of any running back that I see out there that's worth his salt, and you could probably steal in a third round, and I'm saying steal because I'm praying to dear God he ends up in a Steeler uniform, is Nick Chubb. Okay, Nicky's had himself a couple of knee injuries, but how much longer are we going to be going with this Bell situation? Even if he holds out in training camp, could we trust a guy that has constant knee problems and Connor to come in and do the job? No. You know, a lot of people are saying the LSU kid in round one. I can't see that. I look at Gucci and he's a violent runner, but he doesn't think right. He doesn't follow his blocks well. You're going to take a big pounding when you're a big boy. If you're going to end up doing that, I'd much rather have Chubb because I know I'm probably going to get 4,000 yards out of him in his first 4 years.
And how about the other kid from Georgia, Sonny Michael? And you mentioned the kid from LSU. When you look at the backs, Ronald Jones out of USC, you know, if the Steelers are looking back in the, you know, in the second round, hypothetically, do one of those guys stand out to you as well?
Ronald Jones reminds me of a bad delicatessen. I go in there, and every time I go in there, I got bad ham. The same thing with Ronald Jones. I can't take a running back who constantly is having hamstring problems. I like Sonny Michel. He's got less mileage on his meter than most of the big backs over there. But still, if you go back and look at his games, he gets the yardage. But when he gets inside the red zone, that's when he gets stuffed. It's a thinking man's game when I'm looking at a running back. When I look at the running backs that are out there, I got to look at Chubb more than I'm going to look at Michel. Meanwhile, if I want to change a pace back, do I want Michel in round two? Or do I want to wait till round three and get probably the most exciting return man receiver, a Darren Sproles clone of Rashad Penny out of San Diego State? You see, if I'm going to keep Bell at least for 1 year, I got to make a determination. Is this my final year with him? If that's the case, I got to go for a big back. If that's not the case and I have a hope of bringing him back in, I need a change of pace, so I got a different formula in the backfield than what Bell brings.
Dave, go ahead, Dave.
There's some speculation. Dave and I don't really think the Steelers are going to go corner here in the top of the draft. Obviously, they've got needs at inside linebacker and safety. They address some things through free agency, but still, you look at the depth at corner, and they do have a little bit of depth with Cam Sutton there. But there are three guys kind of at the top of the draft who are defensive backs in terms of Ward at Ohio State, Derwin James playing safety at Florida State, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's a lot of people view as the best defensive back of the group, who has been seen as, you know, a corner or a safety. Are those three guys all elite type of guys in your mind?
Yeah, I see Wardo going in the top 10. I mean, the only way that Pittsburgh's going to have a shot at that is if they kidnap all of the people at the draft that are in front of them. You know, that's going to have to be quite a few guys. But I look at the cornerbacks out there, and I got to look at one guy that I could probably steal in round two, who I love to death as a Colorado Buffalo, Isaiah Oliver. Good coverage skills on him. You know, he reminds me a lot. He reminds me of Ike. And you know my affection towards Ike Taylor when he played over there. You know, the best thing I always said about Ike was how I discovered Ike. I was down at school over there, and he was making one bad play after the other. And coach is yelling at him. Ike turns around and says, "Coach, don't you remember? I'm the guy with the bad ACT score." There's some good cornerbacks out there that we could still get in day two, day three. I mean, look at Duke Dawson from Florida. One guy that they seem to like over at Pittsburgh, and I tell them, buyer beware, is Tony Brown from Alabama, though. You just don't see anything on him on the field. I love his coverage skills, but, son, you got to hit somebody once in a while.
And for those listening, the Steelers have, I think, brought in Duke Dawson for a pre-draft visit here. So that's definitely a name potentially to keep an eye on. Maybe, I don't know, for a third round, fifth round, right around in there, if the Steelers do go corner at some point during this draft. Dave, a lot of Steeler fans are hoping for a safety in the first two rounds. And, you know, a lot of the speculation has centered around Jesse Bates out of Wake Forest and Justin Reed out of Stanford. Are either of those two guys first-round players? How would you rank those guys? Fill us in on what you know on Bates and Reed.
The most overrated safety in this draft is Reed. And let me put it to you this way. His brother Eric is better than him. And look who's still unemployed on the market right now. I think that if anybody does anything smart, since you got Morgan Burnett coming in to play one safety spot, is to move Sean Davis out of strong safety. Me, honestly, I'd be going after Kenny Vaccaro if I had any money in the bank right now to play along with Burnett. However, we talked about Tremaine Edmonds earlier. I say the sleeper of the draft, if he did not break his collarbone late in the season and it is fully healed right now, is Tremaine's baby older brother, Terrell Edmonds. This is a guy you could probably steal in round five, and I'm telling you, whoever gets this guy, he's at least going to be in the sub packages as a rookie.
So where's he at school?
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
They're both at Virginia Tech. Okay.
Right. Fill us in on what you know about Bates.
Well, Bates is a heavy hitter. You got to look at what he does on the football field. The big thing that I like about him is that he's more of a downhill type. To me, I could also turn around and play Bates in a cover two situation. You look at the way that Arizona had success using Buchanan in that type of role. That's what I see with Bates. But I see more need for them early in the draft. I mean, look at that defensive line. Look at the offensive line. Quality starters, but if somebody goes down, you got trouble, brother, especially on the defensive line. I look, you come up in a second round, if you see the manster there in Harrison Phillips from Stanford, you got to grab this guy. Okay, he's not pretty on the football field, but think Joe Klecko type of ball player. That's what I see in Harrison Phillips. You got a decent defensive line, but if one of those three starters go down, we are in squat.
Who do you like some later round safeties, if you will? Other than I mean, you obviously mentioned Edmonds.
Well, the thing that I got to look at is which way I'm going to use Burnett. Am I going to use him at the free, or if I'm going to use him at the strong?
Let's assume they're going to use him at strong and move Sean Davis to free.
Well, the way I look at it is, let's go, if you can't get Marcus Allen from Penn State in the third or fourth round, let's turn around and grab Troy Apke in day three. This is a kid that he's not only a physical hitter, but you bring him in and play him on special teams. You got the classic kamikaze. Last year alone, he had 18 tackles on special teams.
What do you think of the kid White from West Virginia?
He's all right, you know, but you got to look at one thing over there. We got so many safeties on the board. That's probably why you're looking at your veteran free agency market. You got Trey Boston. You got, You got Vaccaro. You got Reed still sitting out there. Why? Because the NFL teams know this draft is loaded for safeties. You could still find maybe a quality starter in the fourth, fifth round out of this bunch. Safeties. Offensive guards, linebackers, especially on the inside, that's what you're seeing in this draft. Look at the linebackers they brought in, and it tells you right off the bat that middle linebackers is now starting to become a premium. Out of the 43 linebackers that they brought into the combines, 29 of them are Mike men.
Okay, good deal. Good news.
The wide receiver is a position that, you know, there's an article, I can't remember what it was on the other day, but that there's a dearth of good wide receivers in the NFL. This draft doesn't have necessarily a wide receiver at the top. There's some mixed reviews on Calvin Ridley. Then you've got a whole bunch of guys, DJ Moore. You go down the list, you've got Sutton from SMU, a bunch of different guys. If you're looking at Christian Kirk, if you're looking second, third round, is there a name that sticks out to you for the Steelers? Assuming, you know, this is Martavis Bryant's probably his last year with your organization. They're probably going to go wide receiver either in the third round or the fifth or sixth round. What are the names that jump out for you in the middle there?
Oh, the biggest thing that jumps out for me on round three is I'm going to go ahead out to Colorado State and Gallup, and Michael Gallup. This is a guy that's a good possession type of receiver, has decent speed at 4.5. You look at another kid, too. You go into the third day of the draft, sixth round, I think there is a steal because not only is a wide receiver, but is a return man and also on special teams. That's Cam Phillips down at Virginia Tech. Here's a kid that had over 3,000 yards receiving down there, plus he did over 2,000 yards in returns.
The Steelers have a big decision coming up here by the 3rd of May, Dave. They have to decide whether or not they're going to give Bud Dupree or pick up his fifth-year option. Whether they do or don't really is not going to affect the draft, because I think a lot of Steeler fans expect them to draft another edge rusher probably either round three or later than that. Give us some names of some, you know, round three or later guys that would fit as the Steelers 3-4 outside linebacker.
One thing I say about Dupree, the same thing I said about Jarvis Jones, a fool and his money is soon parted by taking these type of linebackers in round one of the draft. I'm not a fan of the tweeners. I mean, either play them standing up or play them with their hand down on the ground. When you go in the other route, what do you end up? You end up with a two-down type of guy. One kid that I like that I think that it'd probably even be better off, and it's not even as an edge guy because of his he blew out his knee working out for the Giants. Look at North Carolina State's defensive line. You got a kid down there, Kentavious Street, that probably would have been a second-round draft pick. If you're willing to let him sit out there on a pup list for at least the first six games of the season, you're going to have a quality backup at either end spot and a guy, too, that I could play in a five-tech, I could play in a three-tech situation. Right now, when I come up on day three of the draft, I'm looking more for depth than trying to hit a home run. So he's the type of guy that I could bring in, and I hit a double. I scored a run on the kid.
What do you think of the tight ends, and specifically the kid from Penn State that obviously people around here have had a chance to look at pretty closely? A big target, very athletic, obviously not going to be a great inline blocker, but
the white Jimmy Graham? I mean, you look at the kid. I mean, if I need somebody to block out there, he's going to be in a shock mode. He's going to have that big O on his lips. The same thing, too, with the kid over at Oklahoma. These two guys are not going to block at all. I say if you want a tight end, you're going to have to go with the tail end of one because he's probably going to be gone right then, and that's God himself, Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State. However, I say the first tight end off the board is going to be the former baseball player from South Carolina, Hayden Hurst.
So you put those two ahead of Andrews and Gesicki.
Oh, my God, yeah. I look at Andrews and Gesicki, and I say, you know what? Peggy Lee is going to have to draft him because she's going to have to sing that song, Is That All There Is? Is That All There Is? A sleeper? Go look at the kid at Indiana, Ian Thomas. If you want the best blocker, though, go take Dalton Schultz out of Stanford. He's the type of kid, he doesn't even give a darn if you throw the ball to him. All he wants to do is get into that second level and make that crack block. He's probably the best blocker I've seen at the tight end position in about a good 10 years.
Dave, we'll see if the Steelers draft another running back this year in the later rounds. I think they will. And especially if they don't get a guy like Darius Geis in the first round. A, you already mentioned Nick Chubb as kind of a mid-round prospect. I want you to talk real quickly about your thoughts on Darius Geis as a first round or first round guy. And second, give us another later round running back to keep our eye on with the Steelers in addition to Nick Chubb.
And Rashad Penny he mentioned, right?
And Rashad Penny.
If you want to change your pace, just come on up to Pulver Fordham and grab Chase Edmonds up there. I mean, this is a kid you probably find on the board around round six. One kid that I really like that I think is a sleeper, I take him if he's there at round four with no problem at all. That's the kid Ballage out of Arizona State. Okay, you look at his statistics, they don't look great. 700 yards this season, 800 yards the next season. But look at the per carry average. He didn't get the ball that much. So when I got a running back that's coming into the league with only 300 or so touches in round four, I look at what he did in the bowl games. I look at what he did in the combines, and I got to say, yeah, this may be a guy that I want to bring in over here, because if they bring in a Ballage, Connor may end up being third string.
What do you Kerryon think of Johnson? It's kind of dropped a little bit in some draft evaluators' eyes. Where do you see him as a kind of a day three guy, or where do you see him?
I'm scared about that body. I mean, the body looks like it was made by mumbly pegs, but oh my God, you talk about a tough runner. Most of the things when you're bringing the guy down are gang tackles. But then you look at what happened during the season. By the second half of the season over there, you thought Alan Alda was on the sideline with the MASH unit with that kid.
What do you think about the first round? I mean, this draft compared to, let's say, the last three or four, Dave, when it comes to guys that you would give first round, you know, true first round grades on. And when we see year in, year out, guys that probably, you know, will go in the first round who may not have first round grades. Do you find this class being, I guess the question is, do you find this class being kind of weaker when it comes to, first round graded players?
Guys, we opened up Pandora's box years ago when we let the underclassmen in. So you got to understand that the kids are coming in. You got to take more of a long range aspect. How is the body going to mature? How is he mentally going to handle the aspects? Most of these kids now are coming in the league 19, 20, 21 years old. Hell, when I was back there playing, it was 24, 25. Look at quarterback situation. Thanks to free agency. Now, if you draft the quarterback, you either got to throw him to the Wolves, or within 4 years, he may be walking out of the door on you. I think that when I look at this draft right now, this is a good depth draft. But after the top 10 guys, it's going to be a little bit scarier what you do with picks 11 through 32 in round one.
Dave, you mentioned top five quarterbacks going, and then maybe somebody jumping in to take either Jackson or Rand Mason Rudolph at the end. If the Steelers were given an opportunity to say move back 10 spots, move out of the first round because somebody wanted that fifth-year option on a quarterback in the first round, and they were given a pick at the top of the second round, and then, you know, let's say a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Is that something that you find attractive, moving out of the first round to get because they don't have a fourth-round pick, or do you think you stay in there, you get your own fifth-year option? What would you do in that situation?
See, my situation comes down to this. How many quarterbacks are off the board before I come around to pick at the late end of the first round? Because then what you get is those teams that might have had to go for need earlier, even though they wanted a quarterback, all of a sudden they want to trade back into the tail end of one. Now, if somebody's going to end up trading back into the tail end of one, I want something this year, but I want your first round draft pick next year if you want my one this year.
Can you name me two players, not quarterbacks, that will likely be drafted in the first round this year that are extremely overrated?
Oh, Rakan Smith is number one off the board, and Josh Rosen is number two, followed right behind by Baker Mayfield. I mean, I look at those two quarterbacks. I got one that's a troublemaker, and the other one could be trouble because he probably couldn't even look over my center's butt.
Wow, Roquan Smith, I would have never guessed you that would have come
out. I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Listen, I did so much research on him. And the same thing with that Washington nose guard, Vita Vey. Oh, yeah, this guy could plug everything over here. Yeah, but then you go back out there and look at film on this guy. When it comes after the first quarter on this guy, I could find Carmen Sandiego before I could find Vita Vey on a football field.
Interesting.
All right, Dave.
You know what I say over here. If you're going to go into this draft and you're going to go into thinking that this is science, it's not, guys. You know why we got draft boards up all over the place? We need somewhere to throw those darts on April 26th, 28th.
Rapid fire as usual, Dave. I think, David Todd, I think we've gone through all of this here, unless you got anything else for him.
No, that was awesome stuff as always, Dave. And it's so fun to, you know, your encyclopedic knowledge of all these guys. It's just so impressive, and I know our listeners will be thrilled when they get a chance to hear it. So thanks again for making time for us.
Hey, listen, I've been doing this since 1968, so either I'm really good at what I'm doing or I am like the United Fund at the NFL. They're just keeping me around as a charity case. Now, folks, if you want my information, here's what you got to do. Email me at scoutingservices@aol.com. Not only will I send you monster reports like a report on Tremaine Edmonds that's over 20 pages long, but also I have a whole bunch of audio reports on there where you could hear what's going on. On draft day itself, check in with me over at scoutingservices.com. Podcast One Network has Paul Crane, the CNN Emmy sports writer, and myself doing podcast on every selection in the draft.
Awesome. Well, Dave, thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll be checking in with you again, and enjoy the draft coming up in, 13 days away?
Well, listen, that gives me 13 more days to finish my walk from Boise. So if you see me on a highway with a 240-pounder on my back, at least somebody come along and may see my thumb out so you can give me a ride.
All right. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Well, Dave, that was Dave, and Dave was rapid fire with Dave T. Delivers as promised.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you gotta. I mean, you throw out one name, you get six back. I asked him about Geis. I'm not sure he even answered the question about Geis, but
right, he didn't.
He comes back, and boy, I'm gonna have to disagree with him with Roquan Smith. I think you probably will as well. But it seems like every year he's got and I expect him to trash Rashawn Evans a little bit too, and he didn't. You know, he seems to think that. Rashawn Evans will probably be off the board by the time the Steelers pick as well too, and it sounds like Dave T is expecting four inside linebackers to go in the first round. So
would you sign up for Leighton Vander Esch right now?
Man, are you telling me the other three are off the board?
Well, let's go with yes. Yeah, I mean two for sure, but let's say it's Evans and let's say they're off the board.
Yeah, I think I would. Boy, when you measurables alone, David. I mean, this is like an inside linebacker version of T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt, exactly. I would. I'd sign up for it as well. I'd say, okay, I'm good.
There was the one game I think against who was it, Virginia, or I forget who they played last year. I think it was Virginia that there was a lot of questionable tape about Vander Esch. Being able to get off of second level players there, that it kind of caused me a little bit concerned there. But overall, I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was against Virginia. People go throw on that tape, and you look at that and you say, man, was he hurt in this game, or is this really who he is when it comes to being able to avoid trash and getting off blocks there? But then you turn around and you throw on the game later in the season, obviously against Oregon. Now, there was a lot of missed blocks on him as well, too. There is some concern about Leighton Vander Esch, I think. But it's obviously not from the athletic standpoint. And let's remember, he only played 1 year as a full-time starter, so there's still some development there. He is smart as a whip. He checks a lot of boxes outside of being a Power 5 conference guy.
All right, well, good stuff from Dave T. We did our part up front. I got to wrap it up. So, as you say, happy Friday the 13th, and we'll get on with it again next week.
Yeah, I'll be 15 the next time you talk to me, David. So I'll probably sound a lot smarter then. I'll probably sound a lot like you at that point. All right,
happy 50th.
Thank you. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button upper right navigational bar. David, have a great weekend. And everybody enjoy the Pens and the Pirates game in the meantime. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.